ti konda ife wenzi la tu diye yu ati funa funa ife inden tawi zonse tu ti
Child.
konda ife mzila tu ziye yu ati funa ife inden tawi zonse tu
Eternal and loving Father, oh, that we may come before you this afternoon with such a heart and attitude, take my life and let it be consecrated to thee. We come here to listen to your words, O God. We come to receive instruction with the view of learning and becoming a better people, with the view of learning to ultimately honor you in our lives. We therefore pray that amidst the challenges this afternoon of the weather, having come from having lunch, that you help us to be attentive and to hear your word. We pray for your manservant, Pastor Kawambale. It was appointed that on such a day and afternoon, he was going to stand and minister to your people. You who made it possible, we pray that you will aid him, O God. May he speak with the power from above, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and may you give him boldness, O God. We pray that you bless this afternoon. Open our eyes, O Lord, open our ears, that we may behold the things that you have prepared for us. These things, eternal God, we pray and plead with you, even through the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to invite Pastor Kawambale to come and give us God's word. And please prepare yourselves for a discussion. So if you have got any questions arising from the sermon or questions that you may have been thinking about prior to this meeting, please feel free to prepare the same. Thank you. Indeed, a very warm welcome to this afternoon's seminar as we look at this important subject concerning raising and catechizing of children. Let me first take advantage of saying thank you to the leadership, and particularly Pastor Kalifongwa, who actually made this invitation to me. I think when he asked me, I didn't pay attention to the magnitude of the task I was entering in, but as the days to present were drawing near, now I actually feel the heat. But let us just turn to the scripture and look at the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll read from verse 4 to verse 9. If you are there, the Bible reads, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall repeat them diligently to your sons, and speak to them when you sit in your house, when you walk in the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. You shall also tie them as a sign to your hand, and they shall be a frontlet on your forehead. You shall also write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates." Let us pray. Eternal God, we are grateful for this time that you've granted to us as we look at the subject of catechism, and also the use of it to raise our children. Lord, we realize that this is the foundation and bedrock of their future in terms of spirituality. And our considering of these subjects as parents and fathers and guardians will help us, O Lord, to provide this much needed foundation for them. We realize, O Lord, that this has been lost with the passage of time. Lord, we pray that a message like this will spur us to recover this means of grace. Do these things, Lord, we pray, as we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Indeed, as the message itself is entitled Raising and Catechizing Children, there cannot be a better passage of scripture than the one we have just looked at, which is popularly known as a Shema. A story is told of a family that had a 10-year-old child or young boy who had just professed faith. And then a neighbor lady asked the father, "What are you going to do with this young man now that he is professed faith?" Then the father said, "We are considering him to be baptized, but before we do that, we watch him while he actually undergoes through catechism. We want to actually be sure that he understands what he has committed
himself to. Then this lady said, "Ah, I didn't know you are also Roman Catholics." Then the man was actually shocked. He realized that it is understood that catechism is only practiced at Roman Catholic Church. The question which we must ask ourselves this afternoon, our catechism a Baptist thing? And from this passage of scripture, you will not fail to appreciate that there could be even some from among us who have thought like this woman, and yet catechisms have been, as it were, part and parcel of the Baptist tradition and way of teaching. To the thinking of many, the Baptist catechism are not an ally, as it were, with each other. However, historically speaking, this truth has always been there. If we are not actually practicing it, it has just been lost on the way. Friends and brethren, in seeking to handle this subject before us, I would like us to appreciate from this text I've read to you something about the enhancement of family devotion. And I think this is basically what Moses' concern was with the children of Israel. The devotion which they needed to undertake. And secondly, you will not have failed to appreciate the instrumentality of parents or guardians in making sure that children are catechized. And then bringing it to us, I would want us to appreciate by way of applying it, how can we use it in our time and in our churches? Friends and brethren, it is the responsibility of every Christian, both parents and leaders at church, to actually use this means to raise children. Boys and girls have a very powerful mind to assimilate the things they are taught. Look at how they are able to master the nursery rhymes, Humpty Dumpty sat upon the wall, and the text is quite big, and yet it has little or no eternal value, but they are able to assimilate this and they are able to recite them. Why not take advantage of that memory and fix in the scriptures? Here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses proclaims to the Israelites that the Lord our God is one. And the children of Israel are commanded to teach the children and to also exhort them to keep the commands, the testimony, and also the status of the Lord, that they actually may prosper. Moses proclaims Yahweh's uniqueness and their covenant to God as the Lord who actually prospers them, and he is higher than any other gods that they can ever think of or come across. He is the one God. He is indivisible. He is unlike any other God. And as a consequence of this, the Israelites are to love this God with all of their hearts. Therefore, we observe in this text the theology of children being parented by their guardians. And those three things I mentioned to you, I want to just briefly pass through them before we establish our discussion on catechism. You cannot fail to see from Deuteronomy the injunction of biblical legitimacy. That lady thought it was a Catholic thing, but it is actually biblical, and this passage provides legitimacy that we practice this means. And secondly, you cannot fail to see parental encouragement. Parents, it is our responsibility to catechize our children. It's not the Sunday school teacher. Wow, they ought to do it. To actually catechize our children. It must start from our homes. And we will actually seek to apply or appreciate how can we incorporate this in our church ministries. The first thing, therefore, biblical legitimacy of catechizing children. This we see in verse 4. We are told, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Friends and brethren, it is an injunction from God that parents and guardians train their children. They should train them the way they should go due to the immense value that actually comes from it as their infant stage. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, there we are taught, train the child in the way he should go. Even when he has grown older, he will not abandon it. Friends and brethren, this is a popularly known shema, which is a Hebrew word meaning to hear. It gives us the emphatic yes for us to answer the question, is it important to catechize our children? I'm sure most of us have got books piled up on our shelves. What book does take prominence when your children are reading from that the bookshelf? Friends and brethren, Moses is encouraging us to take the Bible as one of those things which must actually be prominent in the use of the children's growth, spiritually speaking. He is actually calling us, like he does to Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." And the question which we must ask ourselves is, why was this cry made to Israel to hear? Well, it is because Israel was just coming from slavery or in bondage from Egypt. For 430 years, they rubbed shoulders with the pharaohs and his people and their idols and their religion. So they were not exposed to know the true gods. They would hear Ra, the sun god, or is it the river god? That's all the god they knew. What they heard from their parents could have just been stories. And therefore, this becomes a genuine cry for them to hear the Lord, their God is one. How can they do this? How are they going to achieve this? By catechizing the children. And that shema basically comes as a legitimate way, which we must actually take, as it were, a leaf from. And so, this was bound, as it were, to cloud their memories, cloud their minds, and cloud, as it were, the picture of the true gods, because they have been rubbing shoulders with these Egyptians who worshipped idols and they had false religions. So in order to single out this true God, one and only true God, this shema became an anthem for them to inspire them to catechize their children. Secondly, parental encouragement to catechize. How can we encourage or ensure parents in our churches are doing so. Well, this 7 is telling us, impress it on your children. Friends, just as the word sounds itself, it is a duty with a deliberate effort to impress. I think I'm coming from the school where when we were given porridge, they were not using a spoon. My mother would, the mother would put her hand on your mouth and then they pour porridge there and then... And that's the point, friends and brethren. These things don't enter into us like osmosis. It must be impressed. Imagine how you struggle to harness everybody to come for the family devotion. And yet it is something which you do every day. Many of us listening to me may have children or hope to have children at one point or the other. But it is a shame for us if we do not have interest in the children and just maybe seek to maintain what is popularly known as dink. I think the Americans know that better. Dual income, no child. If they want a child, they'll come to Malawi and adopt a baby. No, it's a shame. Thank God for the lesson we had yesterday for millennial marriage. It is unfortunate. God wants us to have our own children who will catechize for His glory. Friends and brethren, the answer to parental encouragement is involved in the example of given to us in this scripture, in which is implied this threefold office of a prophet, priest, and king. Friends and brethren, unfortunately, this office which I've raised to you went with the fall in the Garden of Eden when Adam failed to take responsibility. And here we are, now we actually suffer. But thank God for redemption. Christ has recovered it for us in redemption for all believers. And as fathers, we have particularly a high calling in our homes to reflect that example. So that our children may see in us the image of God as a prophet, priest, and king. Friends and brethren, as we seek to consider this passage of Scripture, how can we encourage parental involvement? Moses is urging us in chapter 7 to impress. If this is what it means that we need to actually deliberately impress these things on our children, friends and brethren, we are expected, if we as fathers, we are expected of this fatherly office as priests, as also kings, and also as prophets, then we should actually grow in the maturity as fathers or guardians who will actually not need to thrive on milk. Friends and brethren, the Milky Way, a question was asked about a situation where there is no doctrine in the church, what will happen? We will have babies moving with feeders in town. That is pathetic. The preachers are dishonored, God is dishonored, and the church is dishonored. If you are a guardian, you need to grow. That's what Hebrews is telling us there in Hebrews 5, verse 13 to verse 14. Friends and brethren, not only do we appreciate from this passage of Scripture the very fact that we should, as it were, we should have parental encouragement in catechizing our children. But the third point is incorporation of catechism in church ministries. It must be pointed out that all age groups represented in church must, and I put that as an underline, must be exposed to the whole counsel of God. Nothing to crash. Oh, I think there are babies, take them to crash. No! They must sit with their parents and endure with them. Declaring the whole counsel of God is what Paul is what made Paul innocent of any choice to turn away from the truth. And we see this in Acts chapter 20, verse 26 to 27. So, when we are incorporating the catechizing exercise into the children's ministry, we must not treat the children or even youths or youth ministry as a separate wing of the church where no more rules, exceptions and identities of the church membership are not applied. I think they must actually apply to them just as they do to the members. And so, children need to see the whole body of truth of word to know what Christianity really represents. They need to see the order disciplines, the younger, and the younger, as it were, learn from the order. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, younger people submit to the order, to the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Brethren, the way of Christianity is the way of unity between the old and the young. I don't know how this issue of segmenting YP came about. I think by the time it came about, I had already left to sack. But our YP, we had the youngest young man, or young person, Graham Chinambu. I think he should have been 12 or so. The oldest, I think there was Sister Mary Chambi and Moses Silwea, and we were somewhere here. And we actually benefited from the point I'm talking about. Three things I want to actually now bring to our attention as we look at areas of consideration regarding catechizing and raising up of children. And the first thing I want to do is to basically give a definition. What is catechism? And I'll answer. It is a method of teaching that actually uses question and answer formative. When the question is asked, I expect to receive an answer in a manner of recitation. So, in practice, this is a little more than a brief textbook. I think even in the if you look at the books there, it is like this. It's more than a brief textbook on catechizing and catechism, addressing catechizing as an important subject in its own right. What does it do? It seeks to answer questions like why and what and how of the catechism. And it seeks also to answer the relative modest question of what is catechism and what is catechizing and why it's worth to us. Richard Baxter says this because this is also ridiculed to those who practice catechism. I think from the Reformed pastors, and I quote, those who derive is to scoff. Those who derive all catechisms and profession as unprofitable form had better derive themselves for taking and using the form of their own words to make known their minds to others. Friends and brethren, It is important to catechize our children. If so, how can we encourage or ensure that parents in church are doing so? And how can we encourage this in our children's ministry?
I think I keep on referring to the children's ministry, but I think I would stretch it further to church. I've seen a church where they read just one question and they answer it, then he delves into the preaching. And I think maybe that would help us jumpstart.
Before I became a Christian, like many others who have come from the Catholic background, I always thought that catechism and catechizing was a Roman Catholic thing, but I was wrong. It was not until I stumbled into the Westminster Short Catechism and I realized that it is a biblical tool needed for every Christian, not only just students, every Christian. The Reformation was a golden age for catechism among the Protestants. Luther and Calvin placed high priority on the catechizing both children and adults. And each of them wrote a catechism for that purpose. The Heidelberg Catechism, 1562, and the Westminster Shorter Catechism, 1647, are two of the most popularly known and influential books you can ever look for and lay your hands on for the start. So, catechisms are a teaching method that uses learning by oral citation of carefully worded questions and answers that have been memorized.
I think that's how largely in science and particularly chemistry, the first press you begin with before you do that biochemical formula is just memorizing just how it looks before you understand what the gimmicks of how why glucose is like the way it is. And then after you've memorized it, then you now start fixing. And I think that's the point here, friends and brethren.
And this is what we see Moses telling us, or telling the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 6a to 7b, these words, three times it reprints, these words, he says, you shall be, or they shall be on your heart. The other part he said, they shall be repeated diligently. And the other part he says, speak of them wherever you go. He has talked about when you rise, when you walk in the road, when you sit down, when you speak about them.
Brethren, the underlying thing here is simply that the objective of great overarching act on this matter is that of persuading other folks of the importance of catechizing their children or their families. The church seems to have forgotten how this important and maid's truth is supposed to be useful in their home. We live in the age and time when doctrine is thrown out of the window or it is despised. In fact, those who tread in the paths of doctrine, they are actually disparaged with disparaging remarks. The Apostle Paul, teaching the church at Ephesus, he encouraged them to spend themselves in taking in doctrine. To avoid that illustration given to us by Mark, what do you believe in? What the church believes in? What does the church believe in? I believe what the church believes. And the church believes what I believe. We believe the same thing.
Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 4:14, do not be tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. The apostles' words And their broader context, however, warns us that doctrineless climate is a myth, one either, as it were, grounded or, as it were, persevere in the truth or the rock that actually hits them or breaks them down in their doctrine. I think those thoughts come from a small book which I think got from Pastor Kalifungwa, Simon Dolly, Catechism and Catechizing. If you want to actually read more on this or get educated more on this, Simon Dolly has actually done a good work there. Catechisms and Catechizing. You can just Google it and you will find it for yourself. However, through this fora of Zambia Reformed Conference Forum and Seminar in particular, I would like to call us Baptists to encourage our church members to recover this honored time method of teaching children and adults biblical doctrine. How? By use of catechisms and also catechizing our children. Over time, I have observed that some of our children domestically and also from the church Bible club have actually been able to prove the fact that it is workable. Like a church would give at Bible club or at youth, you give them an assignment. When you come next week, Sunday, Saturday, we want you to come and recite the Ten Commandments. And very few don't do well. So, we must not underestimate their urge. One essential way of nurturing our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord is to add them in, as we have seen Ephesians 6 does to the parents and to the fathers' injunctions. Why? So that when they have received it, they will hide the truth in their hearts and they will actually never, as it were, scamper or get stranded at the time of need. Brethren, this is an age-long tried and proven means of catechizing, as can be seen in the theology of biblical parenting in Deuteronomy 6. Not with me, the first thing we must appreciate, and by the way of reason for catechizing. Firstly, we see this demonstrated to us in Proverbs 22, verse 6, where we read, train the child the way he should go, even when he has up his old, he will not depart from it. Friends and brethren, this is a biblical injunction. We are not trying to plead or maybe try and hoodwink you into it. It is a charge. We must do it wholeheartedly, not with me, for reasons why we must do this. Firstly, it's because catechizing is a good pedagogy. What does that mean? It simply means instructing or teaching or training. And that is basically what it is. Modern education theory looks doubtfully on the recited learning. But our children must actually have the data with them which they can think through with. True, not every child will actually grasp everything as it is presented to them. However, repetition, memory of scripture and catechism early in life becomes the intellectual and spiritual building block of the strong Christian life in future. Most of the people you are seeing today who have answered the calls as pastors, this is what actually happened. Things which they learned when they were young people at the Sunday school, they are the things they actually lived for and has kept them up to today. One of the New Testament theologians from Princeton Theological School, is named Gratian McKenna, attributed his life, love, for and commitment to Reformed faith, to the learning the Bible and catechism on Sunday afternoon after his at his mother's knees. McCain might not have understood the significance of learning the catechism and the kings of Israel by memorizing at the age of 10, but the fruit of this which his mother tended to instruct him, helped him, provided the church with the extraordinary, fruitful, and devout defender of the faith. Secondly, catechizing is a proven method for fulfilling our calling as parents. To instruct our children in the truth is like that. Sometimes catechizing fell on hard times due to the influence of the world academic. And I think when you look at the gadgets which have really, we have actually attributed development to have done more harm than good. I think there is a story told of, is it Albert Einstein, where he says that when technology comes, there is a time when technology will surpass, human interaction, and it will be called a generation of idiots. It's true. Think of two people who are getting married, and they are putting, and they are in the past, this one is saving this side, and the other one is saving this side, and they are getting married next month. Friends and brethren, this is a tragic thing. However, since the practice has proven itself time and again to be one of the most effective tools with which parents may fulfill their duty to teach their children from morning throughout the day and during bedtime, as we have seen in Deuteronomy 6, shows that in most cases our children will love what we love. If we love jumping castles and outing at the expense of YP, Sunday school, and whatever, they will love that. When now you realize that they are going off the way and you want to introduce them to things, they will react. When I was at college, the place where we would lodge during, since our homes were afar off in the Copper Belt and Luapula, we would go to Pastor Mewe's home. And with his itinerant preaching and what, he would leave us with his children. By that time, I think Mindula was about this, and the young man, the other one. Then he would just tell you, Kennedy, what you do is just read to them. Just read. Then I said, but will they? He said, no, just read to them. I'm not surprised we have the pastor now. Brethren, catechism is a remarkable tool to add to our toolbox. I think Lois and Eunice are a good example. Timothy is attributed to what he is because of their influence. Paul says, I can see this faith which is also found in your mother and your grandmother. Thirdly, catechizing helps to understand the very system of doctrines contained in the scripture. Our day is normally characterized by sloppy or disorder rather than logic, systematic thinking. The Bible, however, inspired, inherent, and also unified, contains a system of doctrines, and we do not know the Bible only by memorizing verses, as essential as that is, But we must understand as well that the Bible's teaching on scripture and its authority, God, man, Christ, salvation, and the church, and the last things, friends and brethren, learning these things in a systematic manner will actually be, as it were, abated by the study of the catechism. Learning the catechism will set a course for learning more deeply the things of God. The knowledge of deep intellectual, sometimes very, as it were, and sometimes much needed if we are to love God with our minds. But the knowledge is also the stuff of which rich and growing piety is formed.
I've never seen most of the chaps who have been indoctrinated like the Watchtower's children. To the end that when you say let's go for evangelism, and then they are feeling, and it was just boys and girls are fearing to address them.
But I think that's one of the points I'm saying. That when our children are actually catechized, they will actually have the intellect by God's grace, which will sustain them to stand every wave that might come crashing down, and they'll be able to stand it.
The point I'm actually expressing is that in the days ahead, when the children and the young people face the hardships in life, the simple recitation and meditation on the one question proves as it provides still in their Christian backbone. Therefore, learning the catechism in the early life is not a waste of time. Rather, it is the best use of time and energy on the part of both parents and children. Friends and brethren, the truth of systematically learned as the Holy Spirit blesses it on us, it develops a personal piety in the heart of children, who later on become adults and they face the battle for the cause of God and also for the cause of the truth. Then our children learn with John Calvin to lift up their hearts in their hands to God promptly and sincerely. Thirdly, catechizing our children will help them live to the glory of God. Normally, it is an observed reality that the things learned during our early years in our childhood and youth remain stuck with us for a long time to come as building blocks. The more reason why the wise man Solomon in Proverbs 22 urges us to train the child while it is still tender. B.B. Warfield gave this illustration. And I quote, he illustrates the mark with an experience of an officer in the United States of America Army. While in the midst of the riot, the officer saw another man, calm, firm, and confident. As the officer passed by, he turned round. The stranger, having done the same, the officer put him to the first question of Shorter Catechism: what is the chief end of man? Then the stranger responded, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Then the officer responded, I can see you are a Shorter Catechism boy. Then the young man said, I also noticed in you. Friends and brethren, parents and others who help form children of the church, is this the point I'm trying to say, like B.B. Warfield tells us, is that it is worthwhile to be a Shorter Catechism boy or girl
Because short of catechism, boys or girls, they grow up to be men or women, not chichi. In the hands of the Holy Spirit, teaching biblical truth through the catechism will help our children grow up to withstand the storms of life with conviction, confidence, and an uncompromising trust in the sovereign God. Let us use these two as we learn from us. Thirdly, recovery procedure. How can we, as it were, recover this method? Four things. I think I was given, I'm just remaining with a minute from the time I was given. I'll just mention them. Firstly, our children's minds cling to memories, facts, like glue. And that must be inculcated in us. We must not underestimate their power of holding things in the memory, thinking they are still kids. A father wanted to try, two boys wanted to try their father and say, let's see if you know. And then the father said, okay, can you give me number four? What does it say? And then he was amazed at how they were able to recite. It's not that these children are intelligent per se, but it's the amount of strength they have in memorizing what they have been taught, to which he himself, if they said, Daddy, it's your turn, he was going to waffle. Secondly, training children catechism is not salvation. The teaching of biblical truth in our children does not always save them, but it puts them in the realm of grace. It must be pointed out that although Baptists do not have confirmation classes for the children, but memorizing the Bible truths will remain into them to adulthood and can work as a saving tool by God's grace. Thirdly, catechizing gives our children a framework for interpreting life. Others, when a bishop comes and misses them, they begin, oh, back to the sender. The devil is a liar. But he will say, God is sovereign. He does as he pleases. Teach your children the Baptist catechism. You can use those which I've actually mentioned before, the Westminster catechism, the Adelaide catechism, and many other evangelical good catechism that you may use. They will actually help your children interpret this framework. I'll quote John Newton, how it helped him. The old seller or the old slaveholder who God saved and made a preacher, the man who wrote one of the most famous hymns, Amazing Grace, was converted in a part because his mother catechized him as a child. When Newton wandered far from the fold of God, he knew he was living a life of sin because of the biblical truth hidden in his heart. He knew God was watching, that Christ had come, and that those who reject him would face an awful eternity. One fatal night during the storm, Newton thought his ship was going to sink. Those realities frightened him and caused him to yearn for salvation. He later on attributed all these, at least in the part, to his mother's catechetical effort. Fourthly, seed of truth planted now may bloom into the harvest of grace. I think Mark chapter 4 verse 26, the Lord Jesus Christ talks about sowing of the seed which will grow and blossom and ready for harvest. I must conclude, friends and brethren. In view of what we have labored to learn or bring to our attention, the church can incorporate this means of catechizing and catechism in the Sunday school, in the Bible clubs. If I'm speaking a strange language, Bible clubs, we just have neighborhood children organized at a particular day to just share the gospel to them. Bible clubs, and also probably in the order of worship. Maybe that can steer us start. Friends and brethren, we should, as it were, encourage you to get a copy. I think I've seen a few copies at the bookstore if you want to get started. I'll conclude with the words of Richard Baxter again. Those that will derive all catechisms and professions as unprofitable forms had better derive themselves for talking and using the form of their own word to make known their forms. May God help us as we muse and learn from this. Amen. Oh, switch it. Let me think. I think I'll get the crystal. We thank God for the preaching of His words. I thought you were going to say amen. For some reason, I was scared for myself that I would doze this afternoon. After eating, yeah, after having some shima, you come in the afternoon, but yeah, the nature of the talk and the way it was presented, I'm sure we were all wide awake. And we thank God for what we have learned. Yeah, so we now have this opportunity to ask questions, seek clarifications, so that together we might be able to conclude on this important subject. Are there any questions and the comments? I'm just giving time to rest a bit. Yeah, to just for a bit. And you thought your pastor was passionate. Yeah. All right. Fine. There is a question there. I was about to just ask you one, but there is a question there. Can we please have the mic taken to our sister, please?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I don't know if it's a question or what. I don't know what it is. We'll make something out of it. I think I'm one of the culprits that was just thinking that catechism is for the Catholic, because my daughter is at the Catholic school, and I think some 3 weeks ago she came and told me, can I please join the catechism class? And I said, they're not Catholic. But I think now we've been reviewed, and at least we've learned some. For one, I've learned something.
Thank you. Any other questions? We have a hand at the back there.
Thank you very much, Pastor Bo Sakawambare.
Yeah, for the way I presented the topic, there is a point that really piqued my heart when you were presenting, and this one is to do with the, especially the parents area, where parents must be able to make sure that they are very watchful and careful with the way they handle children, especially in the home setup. Because you never know tomorrow what might happen to that child. You may think that child may be troublesome or maybe something or a nuisance person, but you never know what God has for that child. But if you are very attentive to what God is doing in that child and help that child to catechize, speak to that child with all that you can be able to do at that time with love and wisdom, you may not know in future that child maybe become a minister, maybe become a pastor, or something else that is going to shock you. Myself, my mother, she's the one who's always influencing me. She was a Roman Catholic. Always taking me to the father to confess. My father was he was a politician. He was never at home. But my mother, she was always there, taking me to the father, always confessing every week. I mean, look, here today I am. I'm uniform Baptist today. I'm with you, Katete there. So thank you very much, brother.
For some reason, I was thinking that he was going to say, because of the confession, this is where he is now. But the point is very clear. Through the humor, the liveliness, but we are indeed getting the points clear. Now, there is a hand just behind, Dr. Was it Professor?
Okay, thank you again for the presentation, Pastor Kawambali. The only thing that when you talked about the catechisms that you can use, you mentioned Belgic and Westminster. All those which are like 400 years and more older. Mm-hmm. But in our time, when we also think of material that cries, that can use God's eyes, and maybe more effective because of the time we live in. Because we have mentioned those which are very good. But what about now? And we're developing materials for our time for catechizing.
Okay. We'll allow Pastor to.
Yeah,
I think what I gave you was just a sample. I said there are many other evangelical catechisms that you can use. But I think if you need recommendations of others which you can actually get through, I can read them. I don't know whether I can read them to you or you can get them after we are done. I think I've got, I was given 45 minutes. Sorry for overshooting for 5 minutes. But otherwise, they are there. I can just maybe some of them some of the recommended resources, teaching the truth and training the heart. By studying catechism in Baptist life. This is by Tom J. Nestor. Then there is also Kichi and Catechism. That's another one which you can actually lay your hands on. It is also known as the Baptist Catechism. There is also the New City Catechism Curriculum. It is a newly published by Crossway. It includes everything you need to get started. There is also Truth and Grace Memory Book. This is by Tom Asko. I think most of us know Tom Asko. He has come to teach at LOC, Lusaka Misiro College, and CMC. I think if you look at this. And then also 9 Marks. Look for Jeff Robinson. Jeff Robinson as material on catechizing of children. You actually get help from there. The reason why we gave Pastor 45 minutes is simply because we started late. Mm. Yeah, I think wish we had more time. Any other questions? Okay, there is a question at the back. Can I suggest that those who are seated at the back and you want to ask questions, you, in case the mic is giving a bit of trouble, you may have to draw a bit near, but if you are able to pick it from there, that's fine.
Thank you, Pastor, for your teaching. I just wanted to express a bit of maybe concern and encourage parents. A few years back, I was involved in a Bible club in the, I think, area of Chagli area, where I would meet with the children and even teach them. I would normally help out also transporting some children. But one of the, my observations was that we would not have as many children of the church as we would have, but the children in the surrounding areas would be so enthusiastic to come, you know. I think I would like to encourage, those that are parents, to sort of like not neglect such opportunities for their children to go. Even if it looks a bit of fun because they're meeting with their friends, but they learn quite a bit. Even I was able to testify and learn, and even the children would remember me for transporting them many years later when they have grown up. So I think it would help. I just want to encourage those in the church to also let their children come. We would have more children coming from the surrounding areas than our very own children. Thank you.
There is a hand there.
Thank you again, Pastor, for that lovely teaching. I particularly enjoyed your enthusiasm concerning this matter. But I want to draw attention to yesterday's talk on enriching marriages, focusing on the millennium. We are in an environment where there is so much pressure, and our parents, both mother and father, have to work, and sometimes they have to work in different towns, meaning they are not available to be able to teach their children. What advice would you give to these parents in this environment, which is so demanding, to put food on the table to make ends meet, such that at the end of the day, there is actually no time to sit with children to teach them these truths? Okay.
I think one of the things we must actually appreciate is that family is more important than both father and mother deserting the home. And if that would actually sacrifice our family, then I think our work is not bringing glory to God. I think I would not be committing a crime to advise that one who is supposed to remain managing the home, and in this case, the mother, must actually sacrifice her job and take care of the family. I think that's what I'll do.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pastor, for your sharing. Just to add on to what was raised by the gentleman that spoke just before I raised my hand, one of the things that was raised in yesterday's seminar had to do with having a balance in terms of your career trajectory versus home life.
Yeah.
So I think as people are marrying or planning to get married and come into union in marriage, that must be kept in mind. You cannot pursue a certain career if you do intend to be with your children at home, knowing how demanding it will be. And if you do choose to go that way, and career development, obtaining a master's, going for PhD, there needs to be some sort of agreement between the spouses about who goes first, and when that person is done, the other one begins. You both cannot be out of the home at the same time in demanding career, demanding academic pursuits. I think that's something that people need to be discussing before they even get married. And if you do get married without discussing, at least discuss it as you pursue marriage. But I also find your issue of suggesting, sorry, this will sound contentious, but I find it very difficult to take in that automatically the woman must prefer. I'm coming from a feminist background, no? I'm a bit contentious because she has a dream. She's a human being. She has pursuit. So how do we as believers then come into that space and find a way that honors God, glorifies God, builds this person as a human being because she has developed, she has... You are going to. You know what I mean? There's no fascination. So how do you balance being a human being, being a woman, then being a Christian, and having these desires battling within you? Because as much as we want to claim that our identity is not found in our job, these things define somehow. And we have to battle, it's an everyday struggle, to remind yourself of who you really are, especially in the Lord, and to not let those things define you. So I think just being realistic, coming from a realistic point of view in the everyday life, the ordinary life, I'm sure the women here can attest to that. They have dreams. Some of them come to the end of their 50s wishing they had done different. How do we navigate that difficult path? I think that's what I'm looking for, counsel that can help us ground and make our decisions through the biblical lens, filtered through the scriptures.
Thank you very much. In the beginning, God created Adam. And he created Eve for Adam to be a helpmeet. That must be the principle. It is despite the dreams screaming, will this dream overshadow the will of God for the woman and the purpose she was created for at home? That's basically my answer. If he... modernism overtakes and the dream, go for it. But don't complain when the children just go haywire. The choice is basically yours. No. I think we... let me have your attention. This really sounds like another topic, but it's a build-up to something, and when we have such a situation... We look at it positively in the sense that we are being provoked in our minds unto doing what is good. And I'm sure at the right time we may have an opportunity to maybe have a discussion surrounding this particular topic. But Mrs. Sinyangwe wants to say something. Can you please give her the mic? Yeah, and after Mrs. Nyangwe's comments, I think we'll close that so that we leave time for the Rebcas meeting.
Good afternoon.
I thought that the information according to what the sister says, where she feels that she has really, that she is supposed to fulfill, and they're screaming, and it's automatic, and it's not supposed to be automatic, that she's supposed to stay at home. I thought I could just add something onto that. Of course, she has dreams and everything that is screaming now, but you should. In courtship, when you're starting out, you're dating, you're in courtship, and you're getting married. In that period, there's a lot that's supposed to be discussed, and usually the topic of submission, love, and love is supposed to come at that point. For a man who loves his wife, there's a way that he's going to guide her, and he's going to be sincere. And when he's sincere, they'll be able to dream together, work together, to achieve their dreams. But if he's not sincere, at some point, he loses the way. Maybe, well, I can't think of any immediate, maybe he's tight-fisted. And instead of dreaming with her, he's coming home with a paycheck and something, she loses the dream along the way, and she begins to think, but you know, I can manage. I've got 2 hands and 2 feet. What can stop me? I can work it out. So it's really the way we start our relationships, the dreams that we have. As we're getting married, I believe we're supposed to be sharing these dreams. And as we share these dreams, we're dreaming that maybe one day we're going to, one of the things is we're going to love each other, we're going to work together, we're going to have babies. And, you know, we'll visit our families and our family members will do this. And this is what we'll do, you know, just to grow the family. And this will be my role as a lady. And this will be the role of my husband. And when that is missing, that is when I think, that's my opinion, I suppose. I think that is when the woman misses it. And that is how her dreams become bigger than her marriage dreams, and she settled with it.
Thank you very much. Mrs. Muktuma.
I just want to speak at this place that what I share and this is my personal view.
Oh, okay.
If I see it, then I can do it.
No, maybe for Mrs. Nyango, it's true. Firstly, I would like to just sincerely thank you for your concentration. I speak more than more than the time I was given, but you are still awake. But I think the point I'm trying to say is, there's a time when God will call us to account. Dreams, or whatever they might be, if they do not fall into making sure that we raise up a portrait that speaks of God to the world, I think those dreams are really not worth dreaming. We better wake up. But otherwise, what I have labored to bring to us is to provoke us to start thinking, putting in place ways in which we can start training our children's mind to memorize these things. They are not Roman Catholic. She's not the only one. There could be many others who think like that. But I think the buck rests on the leadership. Thank you very much for that.
Can I ask a little thing?
I just wanted to make a little comment. And it's a follow-up on one of the contributions one of our sisters made, where she mentioned that she has a daughter who is at a Catholic school, and that she came home and said to Manny, can I join the catechism class? And I didn't say, of course, I didn't hear the conclusion of it, but in my mind I was thinking, look, if she's at a Catholic school,
and so the Catholic school that they want this catechism to be undertaken, then I think there is a problem there, because I think what Pastor was presenting is catechism, yes, and the method of question and answer is done both by Catholics and Protestants, but the content is different. So if you are, you know, Baptist or you are Protestant, then obviously if this girl has come home and said, "Mommy, I want to join that class and start a Catholic school," then it's a wrong thing. Because though we raise the same questions with the Catholics, we don't give the same answers to those questions. So if it is the catechism being done at your church, then I think that is a good thing. But if it is her starting catechism at a Roman Catholic school, she will soon be saying the Pope is, I believe in the Pope as the Holy Father, and you'll be shocked at the end of that catechism lesson.
Would you like to close in a word of prayer, Pastor?
Please.
Let us pray.
Let's pray. Most Holy Father, we thank you for the opportunity to hear the word of God, and the truth as you have revealed it in the word. Thank you for how you have used your servants to bring to light matters that are very pertinent to the life of the church and the life of your people. We live in a world where there's so much knowledge, but knowledge that does not lead to eternal life. And yet, our Father, how we plead and pray that you will, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us that we may always ask ourselves, what is God saying? What does God require of us? Thank you.
This matter of raising children, it is something that you have well reviewed in your word.
Now, prayer is that, oh God, you might
be Christians
that put priority where it's supposed to be. That, Lord, we will value what you value, and we will be very sensitive to align our priorities of life according to the way you have revealed to us. Father, we have seen that the devil has indeed worked hard to destroy the building of the home and the marriage where these children do come from. And we know that with all these confusions around, most likely we will lose in the path. But we plead, Sovereign Lord, that we may be people that are indeed striving to ensure that we are bringing up these children in the love and fear of your name. As we go our separate ways, Father, we pray that these things we have heard will continue to be upon our hearts. And now we ask that later on again, as we meet together in the evening, may your presence be with us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much for your participation. And we are now free to go. But remember, there is a Rebcast meeting. So all those representatives, the church leaders, we are going to have a Rebcast meeting. I suggest that we go back to the hall for that particular meeting. Thank you very much. May God bless you.
Oh,
ndani mwa bale atu anatifera fera ife Oma Yesu malo mwatu anapachi kidwatu anamnyoza pansi pano